Now, if you saw the press briefing last night at 5 o'clock, we were told that we will have to live with some kind of disruptive social measures for at least the rest of the year. That's what the government's chief medical advisor, Chris Whitty, has said. He said it's wholly unrealistic to expect life would return to normal soon without a vaccine or an effective treatment for the virus. But the government says it's throwing everything at developing a vaccine, and human trials for a vaccine developed by the University of Oxford, will they begin today? Professor Bertie Squire is Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. We heard a little bit of Bertie in the news there. He's also honorary consultant in infectious diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital, so we can speak with him now. Bertie, good morning to you. Thank you for being with us. What we're seeing lots in the news at the moment about PPE shortages. What's your experience of this, and you've been working at the Royal here in Liverpool too. What have you seen?
So thank you for having me on at the programme. What we've seen, I think the first thing to say is that we've seen a flattening in the curve of numbers. So it's clear from my experience, which I have to emphasise is on a few shifts at the Royal, is that actually the NHS has managed within the surge capacity that it's created. So we've seen a flattening in the curve of numbers and a levelling off in the number of deaths, which is really welcome news. I think it's no secret that the personal protective equipment is a challenge all over the country, and it's a source of great anxiety to everyone. But what I've seen really amongst colleagues is a huge effort really and great pulling together and collaboration. So for example, we have large numbers of the School of Tropical Medicine staff and students who've contributed to the NHS, gone back to clinical work, both here in the UK and also to health service response in some of the low and middle income countries where some of our students come from.
Mm. We watch the press briefing every day at 5 o'clock, and I'm sure you do too when you get the time, but we wait for these slides. We wait for this PowerPoint presentation of slides and transport is down, and then it says people have been infected, and we look at these figures, and we always wait to see those figures of, sadly, people who've lost their lives. And it's easy to think that these figures are bang smack up to date, but these are retrospective, these figures.
Yes, they are more complicated than they appear. So the numbers that are reported at any one time include numbers from that day, the previous day, and the one before. And so they take quite a bit of understanding. But when there is an analysis that is looking at exact numbers per day, it does seem to be that the numbers are flattening off.
Testing is another big news story at the moment. There are two types of tests, as we understand. It's not so easy just to roll out lots of testing. And obviously, depending on which newspapers you go for, you know, some days they're queuing around the block at these testing centres that are in car parks. And other days, you know, there's tumbleweed blowing through them, which that can be a little bit unsettling.
Yes. I think this is an area that needs quite a bit of conversation. We have two tests, and it's important to think about the difference between them. There is a swab test, which is looking for the presence of actual virus in people. So that's a swab up the nose. And then there's a blood test, which is looking for the presence of antibodies. And the fact is that both tests are to some extent imperfect. Now, I don't mean by that we shouldn't be using them, but it's important to understand that there are a number of things to consider when using these tests. So, for example, if we think of the swab tests, they need skill to obtain a good sample, and they're unpleasant for those people who are being tested. The swab has to be pushed very high up the nose. People talk about it feeling as if they were sampling your brain rather than your nose, just to be clear. And then for the antibody tests, we need to be clear, those are the ones that are testing to whether you've been exposed in the past. So there's that distinction for disease and those which you've been tested for in the past, whether you've been exposed in the past. And at the moment, we don't have accredited antibody tests available. Actually, colleagues at the School of Tropical Medicine are in the final stages of evaluating with a company called Mellogic some antibody tests. And 30 patients have been recruited into diagnostic trials at the Royal and Aintree. So you can see that that part of the testing story is still very much in development. And then I think the two more points to make about testing. One is that both swabs and antibody tests have to be analyzed in accredited laboratories. We don't yet haven't reached a point where we can use home testing kits like pregnancy tests. Those are quite a way off.
Right.
And then finally, like all tests, they have a false positive and a false negative rate. So they need to be interpreted with care.
Vaccine. The government said we're throwing everything at vaccine. We're moving at breakneck speed when it comes to developing a vaccine at the moment, which would lull us into a false sense of security to think, well, you know, there's a never-ending money pot here to develop this vaccine. You can throw as much money as you like at a vaccine, but it's still a very, very slow, methodical process.
You're absolutely right. Developing vaccines is by no means an overnight process. We could talk for a very long time about it, but let's start by just thinking about what we know about this virus. At the moment, I was just telling you, we don't have good tests for antibodies yet. Another thing that we don't yet understand is whether those antibodies are really protective. And we know from other vaccine development that if you're dealing with an infection that doesn't raise good natural immunity, it's really hard to develop a vaccine that does. So that's one hurdle that needs to be considered. And then there are the hurdles around how exactly do you proceed with this. There are important considerations really around safety and around the whole development process. So it's clear we are looking at several months. That's not to say that there isn't a huge amount of effort going on, including, again, with colleagues at the School of Tropical Medicine and the University of Liverpool who are working in this area. And one thing I would say is that the more people work on vaccines in different ways and in different centres, the greater the chance of ending up with some successful vaccine candidates that we can then use.
Professor, we really appreciate your time. I'd just like to make one last point with you, if I may. When we turn on the news and when we read the newspapers and, you know, we listen to what's being said, it's understandable that people will think, you know, this is all doom and gloom. You know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel here. There's none whatsoever. This is what you do. You know, infectious diseases is what you do. Do we have hope in this? Will we get through this?
I've no doubt we will get through this. And I think it's important to re-emphasize what I said at the top of the program, that the flattening in curve of numbers is really good. It seems to indicate that the measures that have been taken are effective. And I think that what may be more difficult to understand is that we're going to have to continue some form of the things that we've been doing. So some of the social distancing, the attention to washing hands, these are really important things. But I have no doubt that we'll be creative in finding a way to get back to some levels of normality, albeit with some restrictions.
Sure. Professor, thank you very much indeed. That will be of great comfort to many people. And we know you're extremely busy, but we really appreciate you giving us some of your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health at the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine. He's an honorary consultant in infectious diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. So he knows. Not your mate Dave.
Nope.
Okay. Who's got a mate called Trevor, who once worked here, there and everywhere. They don't know. Bertie knows. They are. There's the thing.
Bertie
that
knows.
Should be his tagline now. Bertie knows.
but do you know, it gives us all a little bit of comfort, Kat. You know,
it
when
does.
We hear the professional people who's, you know, they've dedicated their life to this.
Yeah.
And when they say what they say, you know, they give you the facts.
Yeah.
It just gives you a little bit of comfort.
It does. It's massively reassuring to hear someone who knows so much say, we will get there, we'll get through it.
Exactly right. 18 minutes past 8, morning. BBC.